I'm going to be sharing with you a picture from one of those complimentary sites that LJ was talking about, i.e. a local health department. In particular, the one that we're going to be talking about is Baltimore's. This is a shot, in case some of you don't recognize it, of our Brummo-Seltzer Tower, which is one of the noteworthy landmarks currently being made into artist studios. So before I get into the body of the talk, I wanted to share some essential assumptions with you that I've made in our picture here. First, we are blessed with free vaccines to move forward with this program, and that includes all of the most current ones in addition to anything that might come off the production lines. Secondly, the ages that we're talking about for our adult immunization effort, we clearly want to immunize everyone from 0 to 150, but we have to start somewhere. So clearly we want to eliminate the groups that are essentially spoken for by the VFC program, those who are taken care of by Medicare, and look in the middle, particularly as starting points perhaps for those 19 through 26 years of age, in other words, the upper limit of the HPV spectrum, as well as the 50 to 64-year-old people, what used to be the lower limit of the flu spectrum, and grow it from the established margins. Thirdly, we need an IIS, an immunization information system, so that we can track what we're doing. That's really critical. In addition, we found in Baltimore that regulations can be extremely helpful in pediatric immunizations, and we are considering their utility in the adult immunization effort. And finally, no matter how good a job we do, we remain happily a local health department, which means that we have our own unique resources. They're not as extensive as the state or federal entities, and in some ways, many ways, our challenges are quite different. This is just to recall the ancient triangle, which some of you may remember from your MPH days of agent, host, environment. This is an underpinning for my talk. We're going to be focusing today on the host, i.e. the adult that we're targeting the shots to, the agents, the vaccines we're not going to be dealing with at all, but we are going to be focusing considerable attention on the built environment, i.e. education and a couple of other tools, as it is presented by the public health sector and private providers. Okay, education. LJ just referred to the basic elements of a good message, namely simple, attractive, and culture-based. In addition, it absolutely has to motivate. It has to get people out of their chairs and doing. And while we attempt always to have the most positive approach to that, sometimes I think it's very helpful to recall what the world can look like when we have a disease without a vaccine. In addition, focus groups for us have been critical. We're blessed with several health educators that come from our immediate community, and they have always been essential in gathering thinking groups from the community to help us put the right spin and the right context on the material that we're trying to communicate. Analogous and along the similar lines is the use of campaign champions to really take the educational ball and run with it. And these folks can range from, the person on the street to a high-ticket speaker. It all depends on what you want to accomplish and your resources. Evaluation is critical. I think that's been mentioned a few times before. We really have to have data-driven change. We have to come out with quantitative material to support what we're saying. And almost more importantly than the knowledge that we're trying to communicate, we have to be able to show that we have indeed impacted on behavior. And finally, we've been particularly impressed with the critical role of media in getting across our ideas. Not only keeping media current, getting the latest and greatest MP3 player to communicate your message, but realizing that that item is going to be of no use if what people in the community respond to is a simple typed flyer slipped under their door telling them that their child is not up to date on shots. Okay, so just to draw an example from Baltimore, our Don't Wait to Vaccinate campaign, which we did almost 2 years ago. This is our springtime and summer colors Baltimore purple and green, which we used when we started this effort in the spring, carried it into the summer, and then unexpectedly had to continue it into the fall and winter. We turned red, white, and blue. To give you a bit of background on this, the Maryland legislature, right around Thanksgiving of 05, passed a mandate that middle school kids, fifth through ninth grade, essentially, had to be protected against Hep and Varicella by the time of school entry in 06. We had a significant problem. There were over 23,000 kids who were not up to date on their shots that spring, comprising fully 29% of the student body in the public school system. We devised our Don't Wait to Vaccinate campaign, which consisted of that banner that you just saw emblazoned in as many different settings as we could possibly conjure up. It included 10-foot-long banners emblazoned across the school system buildings, across the health department, libraries, at bus stops. It was a runner between movie features at local theaters. It was put into auditory content on the radios during drive time, et cetera, et cetera. It was all over. And it wasn't just media that we used. We also were extremely active with regard to collaboration with the state health department in terms of changing the deadline for the school immunization as well. Partners were critical. We met at least every week with our school counterparts. The state health department was extremely supportive in providing additional education materials. And finally, our own sister agency, the Housing Authority, worked side by side with us, delivering many thousands of flyers to inform, to inform non-compliant kids of these new requirements. Evaluation was done in three different settings, namely within our own shop, both in the office and at health clinics, and at private provider offices. All of these evaluations showed very clearly that the best way of getting our message out was through the absolutely free letter, which was sent home from the school system to parents and communicated the non-compliance situation. Second, which was our high-ticket item, was the radio. Yeah, that was very effective. And our campaign did work. We had, by the fall of 07, 99.4% compliance. And of those, about a third of the shots were given by the local health department. And that compares with a normal year for us of about 7 to 9% immunization. I just wanted to put in a quick word for the great utility of immunization action coalitions. We have one in Baltimore called ACE, the Action for Community Enrichment, that was started back in 97 by HCFA, which is now called CMS. We were one of 10 sites. We particularly focused in on urban minority populations immunized against flu and pneumonia for Medicare recipients, and over the past 11 years have immunized in excess of 48,000 folks in Baltimore. Equally exciting is what happened this past Valentine's Day at the historic Lexington Market when we added to our flu and pneumonia shots the entire battery of adult immunizations. We only immunized 58 folks that day, but they were very, very meaningful to us, and we look forward to expanding that next year. The benefits of the coalition are multifold. Suffice it to say that it gets you into places you never would as a health department. It includes partners like the YMCA, academic institutions, nonprofits, et cetera, et cetera. Moving on to education, and one last point about what the local health department can do in terms of a real contribution. I think we can, in the realm of adult immunization, move to define, redefine what a missed opportunity is. Everyone, I'm sure, knows what that means in pediatrics. But for our new efforts in adult immunization, I think it means four things. First, if we have a child, and clearly that child has to be brought in to us by an adult, and the adult is not queried nor offered age-appropriate immunization. Secondly, if an adult comes in to us for other services, be it dental or STD, family planning, whatever, and likewise, that adult is neither queried nor offered shots. Thirdly, we don't take care of our own. Namely, we have health department employees with significant clinical contact that don't get immunized. And finally, we don't take a more activist approach to adult immunization and move it beyond our own walls into the community, doing employee health services, selected businesses, et cetera, as LJ was referring to. Okay, to the private provider realm, just real briefly, a couple of points, incentives to get them on board. I think it has to start with education also here. Vaccinology needs to be taught as a subset of immunology, both in medical school and residency. And up-to-date immunization schedules need to be shared with medical students and house staff, as well as instruction on how to give a shot. There's absolutely no reason why docs can't give immunizations, and nurses have been doing a great job at it for a very long time. Secondly, CMEs, very potent lure. They should be offered by respected professional organizations. The AAFP, American Academy of Family Physicians, has been a role model in this. We need to be they need to be joined by the American College of Physicians, American College of OBGYNs. And these same professional organizations should, advocate in general for adult immunization. I think that would be a very potent assist to our effort. Finally, local health department can detail physicians taking a positive page, from the pharmaceutical industry by providing abundant, unbiased information about adult immunization and other questions and problems that practitioners might have. Finally, there's always a place for money and expanding the CMS funding beyond flu and pneumonia to things like Tdap and shingles, et cetera, would be a great thing. MCOs and CMOs are likewise on board with this. Just one moment for talking about regulations and the place of the IIS. We in Baltimore have had great luck with pediatric efforts and regulations. Back in 95, the Baltimore City Council passed a regulation requiring city providers to report all shots to city kids age 0 through 6 years of age to our registry called BIRP, the Baltimore Immunization Registry Program. We currently have well over 1 million entries in that, and it now, as of 2 years ago, we started to add adolescent shots to that, and we have about 8 or 9 years worth of adult influenza data as well in there. I'm not going to go into the many wonderful assets of the IIS, but suffice it to say it's been essential in our ability to do targeted outreach to low immunization area pockets of need. And we've had great success, particularly between 01 and 04, in raising immunization rates for 19 through 35 months old by about 18 points. We were one of the more improved metro areas in the nation, and a big part of reason for that is the IIS. Future potential areas of regulation can include graduate schools, trade schools, using regulations to normalize and make consistent requirements for immunization amongst healthcare workers, restaurant workers that desperately need a Hep A so we all don't get sick when we're going out to the latest big name restaurant, which indeed does happen quite often. And also turning a focus to the criminal justice system, which I think has been long overlooked. We have periodic outbreaks of varicella, et cetera, and I think our efficacy there would be much improved through the use of a registry. Okay, this is just a quick graph. I'm not going to go into any detail. This is over the last few years, data from BIRP showing shots to adolescents. with regard to the three newest vaccines, the blue is the Tdap, the yellow is HPV, and the red is meninge, the green is HAV. And just zeroing in, for example, on the pointer here. So in 05, for example, Tdap was introduced. It was about 10,000 kids with a record of that in BIRP. And then you can see what happened the next year. It bumped up 40%, clearly a huge increase in trend. And then likewise with the yellow, the HPV, something very similar happened in 06. Obviously, it wasn't there. Following year, it bumped up by 2,000. So how does this all hang together? Well, before we can talk about that, very briefly, we have a wish list. We definitely need staff, as I've been mentioning again and again. Education is key. The experts in education, at least the ones most trained probably, are our community health educators. We need a lot more of them. Secondly, since we have all these great shots and we're planning to now put them into adults, we need more nurses. That's a challenge because there is a national shortage as well as just a public health shortage. Thirdly, if we're going to do this data-driven change, we need IT experts, both managers and folks to enter the data. And if we do all the above, our phones are going to be ringing off the hook, so we need clerks to answer them. Secondly, we need media, which is a big ticket item, whether you do radio, TV, or something else, it costs. And thirdly, we need supplies, from the most mundane things, literally paper clips and pens, to the money to pay for the Oracle software license that underpins our BURP registry. So scenarios, small, medium, and large, with regard to starting humbly, if we get our core staff with the components mentioned, add a media underpinning to that, use the immunization coalition to enhance our reach, target the effort at 19 through 26-year-olds and 50 to 64-year-olds through standing health department clinics and community outreach sites, record all of that activity in our IIS so we can analyze it, learn from it, and redevelop as needed, polish that up, and that we would get to our second stage, the medium scenario in which we would take it on the road, so to speak, to businesses, particularly pharmacies, mass immunizers, employee health services, present it to private physicians, and this would all include an increased media portion. And then finally, to expand it to the largest level with more of the same, including additional businesses, regionalizing the approach beyond the local health department to surrounding counties, and I think we'd be well on our way to doing something good. So in conclusion, now is clearly the time for adult immunization. The local health department is a catalyst in this effort. We know how to educate our people and evaluate what we do. We're skilled in the use of immunization coalitions, regulations, and the IIS. We can serve as a role model for the introduction of a new definitions of missed opportunities, and we're clearly ready to go. Stay tuned on March 31st, opening day of the Orioles season. We're going to be kicking off another one of these vaccinations, not just for babies, for teens and young adults, looking at vaccination against flu, cervical cancer, meningitis, and whooping cough. And I just wanted to thank our team back home, John Lamoureux, Rose Jefferson, and all the wonderful folks that make this possible. Thank you.